Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth drama.
All right, all right. Welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N Word. And of course, I'm joined by my homie, big brother, Mr. J.
What's good? What's good, everybody? How y'all doing?
That's him typing away in the background, checking off his traps. if you want to holler at us, the number is 347-826-7435. Tonight, we have a special guest. Got my homegirl coming back, Miss Karen Harrison. She of the Spirit Way, author, psychic, amazing. If you want somebody to dig in your chest and make your stomach look queasy, you'll be talking to her. Once again, that call-in number, if you want to holler at Miss Harrison tonight, who will be on later on in the second segment, 347-826-7435. And I would be remiss if I didn't also say, hey, break us off an email. You can hit us up, smoothdrama at smoothdrama.com. My man, Mr. J, is proud to say he's still soliciting those thong shots.
Got one last week.
Yeah, so you want to say thank you?
I'll just say thanks. She knows who she is. Thank you.
It's the little things that count.
I can't put her name out there like that. I can just say thank you. Thank you to the listener. Yeah. She knows who she is.
Yes. All right. And, of course, you want to listen to us, you want to check us out, you can go to the Smooth Drama page, smoothdrama.com. You can click on the Smooth Drama radio link there, and it should take you to the page also if you want to listen there.
Smoothdrama.com.
Yeah. In the meantime, you know how we do. We start off with the crazy things that people do, or the things that crazy people do, actually. They're both kind of the same. They're like cousins or something like that.
We should really rename this segment. It should be Things Ignorant Folk Do.
Well, you just did it.
Things Ignorant Folk Do. Because crazy people, that's just, you know, that's marginal.
Yeah.
And plus, those with, you know, we don't want emails or calls into the show about those with true mental defaults, you know, to think we're clowning them. No, we ain't talking about those with a mental handicap. We just talking about regular folk that are ignorant and they do dumb shit. Okay?
Well,
plain and simple.
I was talking about crazy folk. I don't care.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
Y'all heard them, right?
Right. I mean, because crazy is crazy. I have nothing against the mentally handicapped. Of course, I have a special place in my heart for them. Crazy folks, not so much. Sort of like homie, who is losing weight on the McDonald's only diet. He's like, yeah, I eat McDonald's every day and I'm losing weight.
What's he eating? Just a salad? I mean, you can do that on the salad.
I guess.
Jared did it on Subway's. Why can't you do it on the salad? Or is he like ordering like quarter pound with cheese, you know, fries? Shake.
Well, you know, he has a McDonald's meal planner that he uses to create his diet.
And he's calling it a diet, right?
Yeah, he's calling it a diet. You know, dining there three times a day, and he's following his FDA recommended nutritional guideline. Only two.
Okay, if he's like, okay, let's go with this. He orders a quarter pound of cheese. He orders a fry, large fry, and he orders a drink. Let's say a large Coke. I'm going to assume that there is way more ice or water in the soda. I'm going to assume that there's maybe only five French fries with no salt. And then I'm going to assume that there's no bread, no cheese, no mayo, just the patty and a little bit of salt.
A couple of sesame seeds.
Not even sesame seeds. Just a dab of sauce, some lettuce, and the patty. That's it.
Yeah.
Okay, you see how crazy that sounded coming out of my mouth. So whatever he thinks his diet is, yeah, okay. But I bet you those people behind the counter, you know.
Well, they'd be pissed every day. I got to make this.
Yeah, you know, so.
Yeah.
Okay, move on, because that wasn't even worth it.
Yeah, well, this one right here out of my favorite state of Florida, you know.
You love every week. What is up with you in Florida?
There's some shit that goes on in Florida. There's some extra.
I mean, there are 49 other states, 47 of which are in the lower, you know, the lower 48.
Right. But
and you pick Florida every week.
Because Florida got the extra. For example,
I could think of a car. Texas got the extra, if you ask me. But
Texas got some crazy folk. But see, like this right here. A couple gave their teenage daughters cocaine and marijuana if they went to school and did their household chores.
Okay, I think I heard about that. And those parents were actually drug addicts. So, okay, you call child services in, get those kids out the place, and take the parents off to jail.
Yeah, they use the drugs as a bargaining tool for school attendance and doing chores, though, man.
Okay, see, now we're going into a whole... We're about to make a right turn on this. You know that, right?
What?
Because my whole thing is, without you even saying anything more about that, had these been black parents, DIFAS would have been called in, or Children's Services would have been called in. Then parents would have been, you know, they would have did the perp walk with news, media, everything out there. And this would have been all over CNN and MSNBC and all these other stations. Because it was only reported in a few outlets, you know, what you're talking about, nobody's even talking about it. Think about it.
Well, that's why we're talking about it.
Right. Had that been Hassan and Rakisha, you know, come on now. Come on. Don't get me started. But that's crazy. I mean, let's take the race off the table for me. That's crazy. That's just bad parenting.
Yeah.
I mean.
That's right. It's still crazy.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
And no kid first is giving cocaine and marijuana as a, hey, you went to school today? Sniff this.
Right. Yeah. Hey, good. Good for you.
All right. Smoke this. Yeah. Moving on, because I'm still in Florida. I can't get out of Florida.
I think you like it down there.
I have been there, and it's overrated.
What part were you in? I mean, if you're in the panhandle, if you're up by like Pensacola, that's a country.
Hey, I was in Orlando.
That's Central Florida. Come on now. You got Disney World. You got Universal Studios. Right. What's wrong?
But anyway, moving on. Florida woman who did a fake bomb threat so she can get a ride from the police.
Would they take her straight to the jail?
She got that ride.
Okay.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy. You want to ride?
I mean, that's almost as crazy as with the woman that got arrested with the $100 worth of meat jammed up inside of her.
Yeah.
First of all, how do you know it's $100 worth? And how did you know that that's where she hid the meat? How do you get $100 worth? Not stuff it in your pants, but how do you get it up inside of you?
Okay.
Answer that. I need an answer.
Why are you asking me like I did it? I was there. I was like, hey, you got to move that ham hock to the side. Don't ask me.
I'm just saying, like, how do you? I mean,
yeah, stop, man.
Come on now, no. I mean, your favorite.
Like I was there.
Because wait a minute, smooth. Calm down.
Oh, I'm calm.
You are the one. You are in charge of, you know, ignorant news. Okay, you bring. This is our first segment, and you always bring the crazy stuff, right?
Right.
So you pulled this story. So right. I'm asking you. Your own opinion or your theory on this, where are they hiding the food? As a matter of fact, was it a security guard? Who was the person that pulled her into the back room and said, okay, I have to, you know.
No, they actually caught them on cam. They saw it. Then when they went out, they wrote the license plate number down, and the police caught up with them because that's the one where she actually had a gallon of bleach also. Yeah. I mean, I hope that she wasn't doing it like, I don't know if you've ever been to the strip club and the women pick up the bottle.
I've seen that, yes. And I'm
like, if she did that with the bleach, that is a powerful woman.
No, that's a nasty-ass woman. That's what that is. Nasty. That's just nasty.
Nasty, powerful, whichever one you want to call it.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. That's
next.
Yeah. I don't know. Can we go on after that?
Yes, we can, because I mean, we must. We must.
Well, there's a father who used his daughter to scam Girl Scout cookie money. And the scam part ain't what's bad. He did it in his own neighborhood.
Well, that's just, I mean, come on. I mean, how many times have you seen in the news where, you know, like you go into like these little grocery stores or these little corner stores or whatever, and you always see like the little can, like where they're trying to raise money or donate, you know, donations or taking donations for whatever fund or whatever. And there's nothing, it's just a regular can with somebody, you know, made a sticker or whatever and taped it to the can and put some bogus P.O. box or some crazy email address on it in a picture. And you're like, oh my God, we have to give, you know, and they put a couple of those around the city and nobody really pays attention to where these, you know, where this money's really going. In my opinion, those could be scams.
Okay, but I don't.
And most of them are.
I don't give money to that. What I'm talking about is we're talking about you got an individual who is working the neighborhood he actually lives in. See, if you're going to do that, you have to go somewhere where they don't know you, because that's why he's crazy. Look, man. It's like I'm in a cul-de-sac of houses. So if I scam the people in my cul-de-sac of houses, they kind of know where I live. So every time I walk out, it's on.
Right. But see, in that case, then if by chance, you know, somebody from your neighborhood has a question or, hey, you know, what's going on with this, and you get caught, you can just say, hey, I'm doing this for so-and-so, and I had no idea this was a scam. And then, boom, you wash your hands of it, even though you're the one doing the scamming.
Hold on, but it's your 9-year-old daughter. You going to pass it off on your 9-year-old?
No, I mean, come on. What's she going to get in trouble for? I mean, seriously, that's a misdemeanor on her. It's a crime.
Right.
No, I'm not saying, no. I'm not saying, and I would do it, but, you know. Anyway, okay, we need some really crazy. Come on, I know you got something crazy.
To me, that's crazy. See, it might not be crazy to you, but to me, that's crazy.
No, I'm not saying that it's not crazy. It's just, okay, that's, you know, give me something really crazy. I mean, you know, now, had you said, like, you know, this man is sending his daughter out there, you know, pimping his daughter or something like that. Yeah, that's crazy. That's real crazy. But that one,
okay.
You know, I mean, you know why? Because I'm so, because I hear about stuff like that all the time.
All right, well, I got one for you. You want crazy? Cinco de Mayo in Baltimore. There's an off-duty cop who decided he was kind of upset over a woman, and he bit the other dude's balls.
I heard about that. Now, see, that's something, you know, first of all, you know, man to man, what happened during this fight where you felt as though it was necessary to go that low,
right,
and go there, you know?
Right. I mean, he's...
And wait a minute. And if you a cop, I'm not saying you should have shot him, but come on now. You got a taser. You got a billy club. You got a nightstick. You got all kinds of weapons on you, but yet you choose to bite him there.
Right. I'm saying, what's the thought process, like you said, where you're in the middle of the fight and you know what? I'm going to bite you in your balls. I mean, you got to think about it.
Ain't much for me to think about. That's some gay shit. That's gay shit right there. I think he just had a gay moment and said, you know, I'm losing the fight. Let me get him off of me. And boom. That's what probably happened. He was probably getting his ass kicked. And that was the only thing he could, you know, that was the only way he knew that he can get this dude off of him. So he went for it.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. See, because this is what happened. The dude got the girl. He was upset. So he ran from behind and tried to punch him. But dude ducked. the guy fell on the ground, and during the fight, the dude was on top of him.
Yeah.
From the way. And so while dude was on top of him, pummeling him, he just decided, I got to get these nuts.
See? Knock, knock, who is it? These nuts.
Yep. In your mouth.
In your mouth. There you go.
Yep. Just the wrong
way. Would you like some salt? Would you like some salt?
I'm thinking they were probably already salty.
Pretty much.
A little extra. Little extra gin.
Yeah, all right. Okay, here we go. See, there you go.
We going to add some details. You always ask me for details, so I'm like, hey, salty nuts.
That reminds me of, what was that episode of South Park where Chef was talking about, made that song about the chocolate balls, yeah. Sorry, for those of you who watch South Park, yeah, Google it. I mean, not Google it, go on to YouTube, yeah.
No.
Yes, go to YouTube, it's there, it's funny.
It's not happening.
Oh.
I refuse.
347-826-7435 is the number. Smooth Drama at smoothdrama.com. Holla at us.
Oh, that was real good, man.
I was practicing all week for that, man.
I see. But you know what should have been in Florida, and this is why I have an indictment on Florida also. You know, George Zimmerman got shot.
Yeah, whoever shot him didn't. Come on now.
Yeah, it's like you get the wound.
That was the chance right there. You had the chance.
Right. I mean, come on.
I mean, I'm not wishing death on anybody, but, you know.
I'm just saying, this is how you know that it's a thug, gangbanger, whatnot, because they didn't get him. They only get the people they're not supposed to get.
Well, supposedly, I mean, if what the media is reporting is true, these two had issues. Like they had a beef once before. That's not the first time that George and his dude have met up.
Right.
They had a beef once before.
That's what I'm saying. In the
right, but you got to think about it. Okay, he's had two chances to get this dude. So obviously, he's not. I don't know what happened the first time. I don't think he shot at him the first time, but. This time around, he shot at him and he missed. Mm. Now, I don't even know if the cops, like, if they caught the guy, but, now he's got to lay low for a while, or somebody else is going to have to, step up and take a chance.
Take a chance.
I'm not condoning. I'm just saying, the way someone told me today was, karma's a bitch. Karma is coming after him, and he knows it.
Well, I hope karma catches his ass.
Well, I don't want to put it out there like that. I just know that, unfortunately, Trayvon's no longer here, but he's going to get what he deserves. That's all I can say.
I'm saying I'm putting it out there.
You taking my role now. Okay.
No, I'm not taking your role. It's George Zimmerman. It's not hard to root against that guy.
Yeah, but
it's not.
I see what you're saying. No, you're right. It's not, but at the same time, it's. Yeah, it's just interesting. It's just interesting how these turn of not just this situation, but ever since his acquittal, everything that's happened to him up until this point, all the run-ins that he's had with law, but yet he has not been arrested for, he's not done any time for anything.
Yeah.
So that just makes me wonder, when they had him on other gun charges and all that, he abused his fiance or whatever she was to him, his ex-wife, they were unable to, put him in jail for anything. Now he's out here on the street, just running around acting like Billy Badass. I mean, eventually he's going to run into somebody and they're going to be like, you've met your maker. It's going to happen.
Well, I won't be mad when it does.
Well.
Yeah. I don't think there's too many people who will be.
Nah, I'm not going to lose no sleep over it. Trust and believe that.
Yeah. I'm probably going to sleep very well.
I do all the time,
Hey, well, certain places I sleep very well.
See, I'm going to leave that alone.
Okay.
we're going down that road. I'm pulling you out. I'm pulling you back.
You're not going down. No. Well, the road I'm going down is Boston.
Are we going to Boston now? What? Boston Road in the Bronx or where? Where are we going?
You didn't hear about it?
What happened?
The nun came out and said the Boston Marathon bomber, he feels sorry for his victims. It's like, I feel sorry.
It's a bit too late for that now.
Yeah. I mean, it's like he...
But see, he committed that crime in the state of Massachusetts. They don't have the death penalty. So, of course, he's going to do time. Even though they're considering it a terrorist attack and it's a federal offense, it's still up to the state of Massachusetts to decide what they're going to do with him. But, and the jurors have decided, you know.
Yeah, but see, here's my thing. All you got to do is don't let him be on death row, well, just in isolation. If you put him in general population, justice will be served.
Like what they did with Dahmer, how he got killed?
Right. Yeah, Dahmer should have been by himself. They was like, you know what? We just going to put him in gym pop. He lasted, what, one night?
Nah, he lasted a couple of months before they got him.
Couple months? You sure?
Yeah. Because not too long ago, I read an article about they interviewed the guy who killed him. It was a young dude. And he explained, he said it was a young black dude. He said, you know, for a couple of weeks, Dahmer had been, like, chastising him and picking fights with him.
Mm.
And he got to the point where he, you know, and this dude was only in there for whatever crime he was in it for, he was only going to, I mean, he was in it for like a, well, his sentence was like 20 years or something. But now that he killed Dahmer, he's in there for life.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I guess. Well, for a good cause, I guess. I don't know.
What else we got? Come on. What else we got?
Well, I...
You know me. I'm ready to get on to the good stuff now. Come on.
Ready to get on to the good stuff.
Bring it, because I got one topic, you know, that's been kind of eating at me.
Let's roll with, well, see, because we got only a couple minutes left in this segment here.
Okay.
So I don't want to get into nothing deep that's a...
No, this ain't going to be deep. It's going to be interesting, but it ain't going to go that deep.
All right, well, I mean, we got a couple minutes, roll with it.
Well, no, just, you know, the whole, my thoughts on this whole, okay, I'll condense it. You know, with Bruce Jenner coming out now, he wants to change sexes and she's transgendered.
Okay.
And it just got me to thinking, check out the segue. It just got me to thinking, okay, you know how in school they have, you know, most schools across the country have sex ed education, right?
Yeah. Now
that transgender is starting to be a big issue, how do you teach the kids? Well, number one, do you teach the kids? And then number two, if you're going to teach them, how do you teach them about sex ed with transgender?
See, that is something that I wanted to talk about a little bit later on.
Okay, well, we'll just let that simmer. Let it simmer.
Yeah,
we got about an hour. You know, we got an hour, but somewhere during the show, we need to, you know.
Oh, we definitely going to talk about that because it's a topic. I mean,
and I got another one too, but you know, we'll start with that one.
Yeah, I'm in the Bay Area, so it. I mean, it's so sincere out here. This is the gayest, most dangerous place on earth.
I thought New York was, but okay.
No, it's not even close. Y'all got four people, but I promise you, this is the gayest, most dangerous place on earth.
Eh, well.
And no,
the
combination, it's very gay.
I'm sure it is.
And it's,
I'm sure it is.
Yeah, you can
not say that I have anything against it. You know, I mean,
I don't care either way.
I mean, that's a different, that's a whole different conversation. But I'm just, you know, the whole transgender thing is, you know, it's something that needs to be talked about.
Yeah, well, we're going to go on break. And when we come back from break, we got my homegirl, Miss Karen Harrison, who'll be jumping in. If y'all got any questions, if you want to be shook, she will shake you tonight. In the meanwhile, just because you from Jersey, we just going to go Jersey.
Here we go.
Yeah. This is my dude, Chino XL, Nunca.
Chino, my love, although many will come before you, trying to be just like her, there will never be another you. You've traveled so far to get here. Don't allow the world to make you forget why our ancestors are with you and will leave you.
Never will your mental conquer me. Never love my enemy. Never take my history. Never block my destiny. Never did love follow me. I'll never return to poverty. I'm a sick of jealousy. No, I haven't inherited me. Some nights I feel like I've been forsaken by God. Victimized, plagiarized like Spielberg, that I'm a star. Unzip like Isaac Mizra. He who laughs, laughs, laughs best. But never again is the mantra that I cry.
My homie, Mr. J. That was Chino XL.
Yeah, he was sounding a little bit angry. I like that little line about, you know, like Wendy Williams off air, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody knows how, you know, well, yeah. I don't know about y'all out there, but on the East Coast, yeah, we know how she got, you know, taken off. But
just so you know, Chino XL, Nunca, Jersey, what? And in the meanwhile, I think we got our guest on. How you doing? Welcome to Smooth Drama. Well, welcome back.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good.
Hey, Karen, how are you?
I'm good.
For those who don't know, this is my homegirl, the author of The Spirit Way, Miss Karen Harrison, Psychic Supreme.
You're making me blush, Fred.
Hey, I'm just saying it.
Too bad we don't have any, you know, psychic music to, you know, bring up, you know, background music.
Psychic music?
Yeah, we need some psychic music. We should have thought of that beforehand. But.
Okay, really?
Yeah.
I don't think we need psychic music.
Yeah, we do, you know.
All right.
Wait a minute, hold on. I mean, y'all can't see me, but, you know, if you're on Skype, you know.
No.
I'm turning down my lights, and I'm going to light some candles now. So go ahead.
That is really, really bad visual.
Man, if you saw the whole visual, you'd be like, you might close your eyes, but I'm sure there's going to be people out there, you know, ladies, y'all be like, ooh, okay.
Anyway, Karen, how you been?
I have been really good. Life has taught me a lot of lessons in the last few years, and my manager just started setting up my new website. So coming on here is the perfect opportunity for me to let people know what I really want to do. I know you've had a reading by me, Fred, and that was quite a while ago. And after the last few years and everything that I've been through, it's helped me to understand myself a lot better. And what I really learned I want to do, my heart's desire, is to help other people understand how to use their own intuition, their own gift, because each and every one of us has one. So my manager's in the process of setting up a webcast so that I can start doing classes and help other people not need psychics anymore. Kind of a crazy thing to do, but...
Yeah, hold on.
Okay.
I'm just hearing you say that you want to set it up where people won't need you anymore.
Exactly.
There's a catch to this.
There is no catch. We are all capable of listening to our own instincts, listening to our own guides. And that really is the direction as humans that we're going to really understand who we are and our connection with the universe, God, however you choose to look at it. It's always been there. It's just a matter of connecting to it. So that's what I really want to do, is I want to help people understand how to connect to their own inner self. And then Go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask you in regards to that. Let me ask you this. Because I, you know, preparing for the show today, you know, I was like sending out a lot of messages to people to, you know, either listen in, call in, or however, you know, just to let them know what's going on. And some of the responses that came back, it just seems as though maybe they're, I don't want to say that they're assuming that it's got anything to do with religion, but I just noticed that a lot of those that were responding, a lot of my friends that are responding, I guess their concern is, you know, it's tied to like religion or cult or whatever site, you know. And I'm like, how do you get one to separate what you do as opposed to what they believe is being done?
Well, that is the process of the classes that I'm doing. What people need to understand, what I do is I listen to my guides. I'm listening to God. I'm listening to the other side. And we all have that capability. Now, that is spirituality. Religion is man-made. It is absolutely man-made, and it's a belief system. It's just like, if you will, racism. When a child is born, they're not racist. They are taught that. And the same thing with when you go to church and you're taught that these are the certain things, these are the beliefs of God. You're not being taught what God's beliefs are. You're being taught what that religion's beliefs are. Do you see what I'm saying?
Makes a valid point.
All right.
So
you
can be religious and you can be spiritual.
Okay.
You can be both. But true spirituality is allowing anybody to be exactly who they are. That's what spirituality is about.
Okay, the number is 347-826-7435. I'm sorry, Karen, I just want to get that number in there, 347-826-7435.
So now my thing is, okay, you have it set up, webcast, are people going to be able to watch you live, and you'll be taking, like, calls like that, or you taking questions? I mean, how do you go about conveying your message?
What we're working on right now, and it's not put together yet. Once it's put together, it will be on the website and offered. I would like to be able to interact with everybody that is watching, and they will be able to ask questions. That's what we're focused on setting up. I also intend on doing this in person as well, but I want to be able to reach more people. Because people truly need to understand all this craziness that's going on in the world right now. That's the planet shifting to adjust us to a place where we can truly listen. That's what all of that is about. All of the destruction is to get rid of the chaos. I know it seems kind of backwards, but that's what it's all about. It's separating people who are truly ready to listen and people who are not ever going to listen. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Now for the uninitiated, I mean, they're looking at it like, okay, you're a psychic. How did what you just said, how did that affect me per se?
You? Well, from what I have.
In general.
Okay, the way it's going to affect people is the plan, okay? The plan is that we all become one. We understand each other. We don't even have to like each other, but we understand each other enough to let people be who they are and to eliminate all of the anger in the world. So it affects each and every one of us. And just what I've seen happen on the news in Denver alone, people are killing each other. It's we're all working towards this process to eliminate all of that and connect to the other side so that we understand that everything can be here the way it is over there. Does that make sense?
Okay.
It's truly a happier place is what we're working towards. A happier place where there's contentment, where there's just contentment. That's a really good word, just so that we all can contentment living here. We'll still have our life lessons, but we're going to eventually, this world is going to stop, and it's going to be the other side that we all live in. Does that make sense?
Makes sense to me.
I got it.
I mean, the end's not going to happen in this lifetime. I just think the way that religion talks about the end is an extreme, because truly being on the other side is where you understand the true meaning of who we are as beings. Yeah, I know that's kind of deep, but and you have to believe in reincarnation. In order to understand this process that I'm talking about, my job in this world right now is just to help people understand how to listen to what they have always had. They came here with, and they need to listen to it.
Right, but see, what I'm thinking, though, most people, when they think about a psychic, they're like, okay, I want to talk to you. I want to know what's going on. What's up with my boyfriend, wife, lover, cousin, whatnot? Am I going to make some money? I mean, those are the general, and I'm guessing that you already know this. This is the general questions that you get from people. So,
Fred, let me take you back to our last.
Go ahead.
Your and I's last conversation, were there not things that were said that brought you to an understanding about yourself, just based on the reading that I was doing?
Well, yeah, that's why I'm asking you no questions.
So think back to the reading, though. Didn't it come around to where you needed to be? That you can ask those questions. There's nothing wrong with those questions. But when you get the answers, my process has to do with helping you understand the answers.
Yeah,
so
I don't
have a problem with those questions, I guess is what I'm trying to tell you, because every question you have is important to your growth.
Gosh.
So there's nothing wrong with them.
So people, callers, 347-826-7435. I had an overabundance of folks like, yeah, I want to talk to a disciple. What time should I call? I think you scared them off.
No, I guarantee you they're listening. They're listening, but I don't want to say that they're scared. I think they're just more, no one wants to be the first. Because, you know, like we said before the show, when you were doing my quote unquote reading, you know, certain things, it can become personal, and you know, you're respecting the privacy of the individual once we go on air. So,
you know, I've done a couple of other programs. I had my own for a little while there, and I listen to what I'm hearing before I say it. And I don't take anything that's personal to somebody and put it on the air. I won't do that. I will recommend that they call me later, and then we can talk personally about it. But it's not about trying to get stuff that really matters to them out on the air. It's more to understand, for them to understand what my gift is about. But... You saw it when I talked to you, Eric. The minute I felt something that personal, I'm done talking in front of somebody else. I just won't do it. Because I'm kind of weird, but I'm a really private person. I don't want my personal stuff blasted either.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just call
in. I think we have a caller.
Okay.
On the air, welcome to Smooth Drama. Caller, you're on the air. Hello.
I don't know if you guys were reading for me. I don't even know what I'm doing. This is my first time calling in on a blog, so I'm sorry.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay, this is Darby. How's everybody doing? I don't mind being the first. How you doing, sister? It's a pleasure to speak with you.
How you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm okay. I did have a question, actually, and I just wanted to throw out there something I've been debating for months now, and I'm trying to figure out, because I'm living in a place where I'm not from. I've been living in Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia, for the past 4 years, and I'm from further up north. I'm not going to just, you know, say, but I'm trying to figure out, because I've been trying to actually do what I'm supposed to do, make something of myself, go get an education, and really work on developing myself here where I am in an unfamiliar place. And I'm trying to determine whether it's going to be worth it for me to force myself to you know, continue to be out of my comfort zone and, you know, go even further to develop myself in a place where I'm really starting to be really uncomfortable, rather than going back to familiar territory, back to my home, and try again there.
Well, Darby, I wanted to ask so we could speed up the process. Do you have a question?
That's my question.
I think the
question is, go home.
What should she do?
Here.
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, you don't ever force yourself to do anything, sweetie, okay? Never, never do that. But if you learn to relax and go with the flow. And I want to ask you a question, actually. So are you doing the nursing thing? or you just thought about?
No, yeah, that's what I was thinking about here recently.
Okay. So I just got the chills. That is the right path for you, sweetie. It is absolutely the right path for you. But I have one other question, and if this becomes too personal, you just let me know. But who is the little boy around you?
The little boy?
Yeah. He looks like he's about 6 or 7 years old.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, no problem. Because, you know, what I could be seeing is what's going to be happening in your future. Let's go back to the nursing. Absolutely the best thing for you to do. If you can do that right where you're at, without too much stress on you, that's exactly what you need to do, okay? What I'm feeling is you think you need to go back home because you need that kind of protection, that connection that the family gives you.
Mm-hmm.
But you're actually developing that where you are right now. And family can be anybody that's close to you. They don't have to be blood related. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I know who the little boy might be.
Okay.
I won't talk about that, though. Thanks so much, though, because that makes sense, actually, too, and I will take that in consideration.
There was also a step that you're thinking about taking after you get into the nursing thing. Absolutely do that one as well, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
All right. Thank you, Darby, for calling. I hope you call
back. Thanks for calling, Darby. Stay online. Listen to us now. But thanks for calling in.
Well, that was fun.
Yeah.
We need another caller now. I'm getting all geared up.
Calling, I heard. We need another caller. 347-26-7435. You ready to make it happen? Karen is ready to make it happen. Give us a call, 347-826-7435.
In the meantime, while we're waiting for that call, Karen, will you be, I know you have the book out now. Will you be in the area? I mean, where are you going on tour with this? I mean, can they find the book, on Amazon,
Actually, you can find the book on Amazon right now. And I had a friend, unfortunately, she just recently passed away. God bless her soul. But her family is left behind. And what I'm doing with this book, it's $10 to buy the book. You get a PDF. But half of those proceeds go to her family.
Okay.
So,
is there a website? I think you said it earlier.
Yes. The website is thespiritway.wordpress.com.
Spiritway.wordpress.com. Yes.
Yeah. And there are other things that I offer on the website as well. I'm always willing to do a reading. I can do them over the telephone. You can ask me questions in an email. It doesn't really matter what the forum is. If you're more interested in doing it on Skype, I'm set up on all the ones that you can talk, like Skype, and I can't think of one right now, MSN, stuff like that. I can do readings
mm-hmm.
on that. I also do past life journeys. And what a past life journey is, I take you back through meditation into your past life so that you can connect what happened in that past life to what's going on in this lifetime to help you release anything that's holding you back.
Okay, so now we talk about the past life journey. Now, when you say past life, you're talking about the life that we formerly lived, and now we're on a different incantation of our life, incarnation, as they call it.
Yeah, as a different person, it's still the same soul. It's just a different person. And we all have lots of past lives. It's an amazing process because what ends up happening, you go through this meditation, and really all I do is facilitate you to help you not get too emotionally attached to it so that you can watch it more like a video. And once you go through this, I'll sit down with you afterwards and help you understand the connection. But this is the really cool part. once you've done one of these journeys, not only do you start remembering the life or lifetimes that you went through, but you will start to remember others as well.
Okay.
I've watched it over and over again. It's really cool.
All right. So, I mean, like if someone opens it up, and I've had this conversation with someone else, a more religious, spiritual person, they were like, well, once you open that up, you open yourself up to other spirits to be able to come inside you and possess you. This was something that I heard, and it was a serious concern over doing a past life reading. What would you say to that person?
I would say stop believing what other people are telling you and go with your heart, because I have done these regressions or journeys for other people. I've done 4 or 5 of them myself, and I don't have any negative spirits inside of me, next to me, around me. It's just nonsense. It cannot happen, because all you're doing is visiting memories. That's it. It just happens to be memories of past lives. That's it.
Okay.
I've done the journeys over the telephone with people as well. It's a really easy process. Once I got to know myself a lot better, it helps me to connect with somebody so that I can help them be relaxed through the process. And
okay.
It's just an easy thing.
So my other question is, like, okay, so we go through past lives. I mean, are we talking about you're, like, remembering, like, multiple past lives? Is it something that you'll be dreaming about? I mean...
Oh, it's kind of hard to describe, but when you get into it and you start to see it, you have the option, you know. You can either live it or you can watch it as if you're walking through a movie. Okay? When I did my first one, I actually chose to be inside of the person that I was in that past life. It was an amazing process. But I think I was meant to so I could understand how important they were. Well, what I do through my process is help you to step back from the emotions that you had in that lifetime so that you can actually just watch it like you're... I would have to say it's more like walking through a movie rather than watching a video. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right. So, I mean, you know, I'm sitting up there like, okay, you choose to be inside that body, whatnot, and you're experiencing this. I mean, do you experience your past life death also?
I'm trying to remember. I had a couple. My daughter went on one of these journeys, and she experienced her death in that one, yes.
Hmm.
But it doesn't make you die. She stood back, and she watched it all happen. And she was actually a man in that lifetime.
Folks, lines are open. 347-826-7435. 347-826-7435.
So how long does it normally take for you to do a past life regression?
Generally, it takes at least a couple of hours. You've got to go through 3 meditations. I take you through a relaxing meditation. Then we go through a meditation that takes you back to your birth in this lifetime. And then the 3rd meditation, actually, your soul picks the lives that you go to. It's not something I choose for you. But in this 3rd meditation, your soul starts to journey back into these past lives. Now, I've had journeys that I've done with people where they visited 3 or 4 lifetimes because there was a common theme amongst those lifetimes, but I've had people go back to 1 lifetime, and that was all that they needed to see. So it really depends on the person. The more lifetimes you go to, the longer it's going to take. And then, of course, afterwards, we talk through the process to figure out how it's connected. I don't want to just do them and then leave somebody with it. I want them to understand what the process is about and what it means to them and how they can develop from that. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. So now, all right, I'm I'm gonna put myself out there. I'm not personally, but professionally, as far as, you know, comic book company, radio show, where do you see some of that going?
I say your radio show is going to start
worldwide.
Pardon me?
I said worldwide. That's going national. We're going national. We're going international.
We are already international. Go ahead.
Okay, well.
Okay, so actually, you are absolutely right, Eric. It is going to. It's not going to move as quickly as you would like to see, Fred, but it will move in that direction. And I don't know that you've thought about this, but your comic book thing is really what's going to get everything going in the radio portion of it. Did you see them connecting together?
Well, yeah, that's one of the things that I definitely want to connect together.
Okay, so when you start working on that, when you start connecting them together is when it's really going to start to pick up. So I guess your answer is it's up to you.
Okay.
So maybe you should ask yourself what has been holding you back.
I got an idea.
Okay. Okay.
I have an idea. Mr. J?
Yeah, I'm here. I've just been listening to this, you know.
Yeah.
Sorting my thoughts. Interesting. I mean, a lot, you know, the process.
So I have another question. I okay. know a rapper. A rapper close to me, Clay Creation. What do you see in his future? Well, table that. We have a call.
Table that, yeah.
Call.
Okay.
Caller, you're on the air. Welcome to Smooth Drama. So, do you have any questions? Oh, they hung up.
Uh-oh. I think it takes a minute to get used to that blog talk thing and calling in, and you got to wait for the delays and stuff.
Right. Well, no, the call should be straightforward. But yeah, I just ask.
How about you ask that another time? Okay.
Okay, I will do that.
All right. I do mediumship as well. Do you guys know what that is?
No. What is that?
For me, this is probably very special. I love the journeys that I do, but the mediumship helps to connect people with their loved ones that have passed on.
Mm.
And
yeah.
Pardon me?
Yeah, I don't know about that one. That's it.
The number is 347-826-7435, or you can email us at smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com.
I don't know if I'm down now.
You know, not everything I do is for everyone, and that's okay. And I can't possibly be what them to be, right? If I'm trying to help other people understand, you need to let people be who they are.
That makes sense, yes. That makes a lot of sense. That makes plenty of sense. Smooth?
Yeah,
You okay?
Yeah, I'm good, actually.
This has been a pretty, it's got me thinking, I'll say that much. I didn't expect everything that I've heard so far. You know, but then again, I really try to go into a show with no expectations. So this kind of threw me in a different direction.
All right. Well, I'll ask this because, you know, we're talking about everybody else. Now, we're going to talk about you. I know professionally you got the – You got the website coming up, and you're talking about you want to do medium shows. You want to talk to people, whatnot. If we wanted to catch up to you right now, where would we go?
That would be thespiritway.wordpress.com.
Spiritway.wordpress.com?
Yeah. In the process of getting this all set up. We've got a couple of pages already. I had another website. I think you knew about that one, Fred.
Yeah.
But it just didn't work out because GoDaddy likes to really take people's money. So I'm working on this new website. I've got my manager working on it. And he's actually sitting there working on it right now. So within, I would say, the next month or so, I'm going to really have it set the way that I want it. But that doesn't mean that you cannot contact me immediately on my website right now, because we do have it started and it's up and running.
Okay, and so for the people out there listening, if they wanted to talk to you, are you free? What are your rates?
You can't put that out there. That's personal, man.
It's on the website, actually. It's on the website. It is on the website. So I'm not really worried about rates right now. I found myself, when I was homeless, doing a lot of readings for free. I'm going to do what people need to do is what I'm going to do. And that was something else I wanted to say, too. Any reading that you get is 100% guaranteed. If you are not happy with it, no questions asked, you get your money back.
Yeah. Money back. Can't be.
You heard it here, folks. Okay.
All right. Well, as always, Karen, it's a pleasure having you on. And I say it to you, you're always welcome here.
Yeah, we need you to come back. Hopefully sometime soon. But yeah, this is one of those segments where it's to be continued. It has to be.
Every month, every other month, it's up to you. You know. You got carte blanche. You call me anytime. Hey, what's up? I got something happening. You on.
All right. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Oh,
thank you for helping us out here.
Yeah.
Right.
And scaring half the listeners to death. She gonna tell all my secrets on the air. I can't call.
Karen, before you leave, one more time, just put out that the web address so at least they can, you know, go to your site.
Okay, it's www.thespiritway.wordpress.com.
You got that, folks? Thespiritway.wordpress.com.
Right. And if you go on my website, you'll see a link to your guys' program.
All right.
And vice versa.
Yeah. We definitely.
All right. Thank you again, and you guys have a blessed evening.
All right.
You too. Take care.
Too.
Bye.
Bye. All right. That was a...
scary.
Yeah.
That was scary.
I have experienced it before, so it's not quite as scary. But you know, it's always different when you talk to Karen, because you know she'll just say something, and it's like, you wasn't supposed to know that.
almost made me forget what it was what we were going to follow up that segment with, but.
Yeah. You know? Well, I know.
I decided, you know what I'm going to do instead?
What are you going to do?
I'm going to hold off on that particular topic, which we talked about a little bit earlier, and I'm going to switch it to something that was inboxed to me that they want to talk about.
All right. Well, why don't we do this?
We'll do that on the other side of this music break?
Yeah. I'm thinking we need a break.
Okay.
We're going to go old school. We're going to get a little provocative because you always provocative anyway.
There you go.
It's the truth. It's a Tribe Called Quest. Hot sex on the platter.
Hot sex on the platter.
together you got to move. Drummer, smooth drummer.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N Word. I am down with my homie, Mr. J, my big brother. That was Tribe Called Quest. Hot sex.
Y'all don't have it. You can't call me Mr. J anymore. Tonight, I'm just a psychic.
Yeah, okay.
I'm the psychic.
So tell me, Mr. Psychic, what are we about to talk about?
We want to talk about some real ish right now.
Some real
ish? They were supposed to send this in to the radio email address to the site, but, you know, they inboxed me instead. Okay. Mm-hmm. I ain't mad at you. Basically, what are your feelings on interracial dating?
I have no feelings.
Let's just talk about that.
Let's talk about
But see, because when I say that, the first thing that comes to your mind, as well as many other people, is black and white.
Okay.
Right. My question to you is, you being a black man, me being a black man, let's say you see a sister walking down the street, holding hands, all lovey-dovey, whatever, with a brother that's from the Middle East. Do you get upset about that? Not you personally. Is there a difference between her walking down the street, you know, dating this dude, and say, you know, a brother walking down the street dating, you know, somebody, a young lady from Korea or something? Why don't we get all up in arms when we see those situations? Why is it only when it's black and white?
I don't see why you would get up in arms over somebody else's business that has nothing to do with you and your household.
Okay, but, you know, this is smooth drama. There's going to be some drama with this. My question to you is, when is it cool and when is it not cool? My point being, we can look at things from different points of view, which we always do as people. But why do we focus on one thing and not the other when they're basically the same thing?
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Come for the door, I'm naked.
Oh. Folks, a little technical difficulty, but that's my point.
Yeah. It's no point to me.
Okay, well, we can move on then. But no, that was just an inbox message. This person, a friend of mine, she's going through that very dilemma right now, whereas she's dating a guy from the Middle East, you know? And, you know, she doesn't get as much flack, but her friend, who's also a black woman, is dating, you know, a white guy, and her friend gets a lot of flack.
Why?
I don't know, and I guess she wants to know, like, from the pub, you know, the listeners, like, what's their take on that?
Well, I mean, I, like I said, you know, it makes me know never mind what goes on in somebody else's house, somebody else's life.
Okay.
And even if it's somebody that you know, family member, whatnot, if they're happy, what?
Okay.
I mean, I think at the end of the day, it's about happiness.
Okay. I mean, again, it's just a question. I mean, we could probably go all night on that because I could look at it from different points of view or different, you know, there's different ways you can look at it. But that was the question she posed to me, you know. I mean, we do live in a multicultural society, but yet amongst, you know, black folk, that's always going to be a sticking point, whether you're a black man or a black woman. You know, we do have a certain segment, such as yourself, that may not, you know, don't trip off of that. You don't really get caught up in it. But then there's a lot of other people out here who, to certain levels or whatever extent, you know, they I don't want to say they take it personal, but it's just, I see their point as well. It's like, what's wrong with your own? You know, we're trying to build our people back up, you know, and when you go out and you find somebody else from a different race or religion, you know, race, it's like, you know, what's wrong with our own sisters, our own brothers? You understand what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, I mean, this is something that
I'm surprised you were just like really finding words.
No, I mean, because I actually, I mean, it's something that I planned on talking about here about 10 minutes later, but I'll
say okay. Now. I see your point.
But no, this past weekend, I had a family member that was slain in his home.
Okay, my condolences.
Yeah, my cousin Aaron Brooks Jr. Is no longer with us. And, you know, more than likely, you know, we talk about the Black Lives Matter and everybody's mobilized, whatnot, but this is black-on-black crime. There's no...
Which we don't really talk about, but yeah, go ahead. I see what you're saying.
And when we start talking about who's dating, I mean... Who's dating who? Like it really affects our lives. Like that's important. No, senseless violence against each other affects our lives, not who's dating what.
And was the reason for his loss of life due to the fact that he was dating someone other than, you know, someone that looks like him? Or
yeah, we only know that he was murdered 3 a.m. in his home, so it was obviously someone that he knew. And, you know, he's a young man.
Yeah.
He's not going to see tomorrow. I mean...
Well, let's dial it back a little bit, lighten it up just a little bit. I mean, not going so far as to, you know, taking one's life. I think, and then we can move on from this, but I think it's a hot button with a lot of people. Well, you know, I'm just saying from a black man's point of view, I could care less who the next person dates. But if you are a black man or a black woman and you listen to my words carefully, you purposely only date outside your race, and then at the same time you degrade your own people, those are the people I have a problem with. If you're the type of person, whether you're male or female, and you choose to date, you know, like you may date, you know, an Asian tomorrow, Hispanic next week, and a Turkish girl 2 weeks from now, that's your business. But if you're only purposely choosing to date others because you don't like your own people, or for whatever reason you find a problem with your own people, you're the person I have a problem with. You're the racist. You understand what I'm saying? You're racist against your own self.
Yeah, and I've always wondered when you hear people say, I only date such and such. And I'm like, why? I mean, there's an issue there.
Okay. Well, I mean, that, as I said, it's a subject that we can go on for hours on. You know what? I would prefer that we just pick that particular topic up another time, you know, because we don't have much time left, and I'm sure there's other things you want to get into. Hello?
It actually goes into, you know, Spike Lee is making a film called Chi-Rat.
Yeah.
Right. And it's in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, as you can tell by the title, it's based off of, you know, being in Chicago, saying Chicago is like Iraq. And he was facing criticism for it. And it's like, really? So if you're going to criticize, why don't you walk them streets where he's filming? And
Spike always, you know, he always, I mean, that's just him. I mean, I'm not going to say he's the only one that does it, but he's one of the few that you will do it in, you know, like he's in your face about it. He'll, you know, like, I mean, there was protests in about when he, was trying to, you know, when he was trying to film, Malcolm X, you know, and he had to go to high profile black stars to get the money because the studio wouldn't finance the whole movie for him. In this situation, it's not so much us against Spike. It's more so it's the city. It's the city government. You know, they're afraid that he's going to cast a negative, you know, shadow over the city because of the movie. And all he's really doing is probably, I guarantee you that the movie, the title itself,
it'll probably have aspects of what's going on in Chicago right now, but I guarantee you there's going to be so many other subtitles and subtexts and substories going on within that movie that people are yelling fire and there is no fire. You understand what I'm saying? They're making more out of it than what it really is, I guarantee you. And then the only thing, the benefit for Spike is that he's already getting free press for a movie that's not even finished. So now it's just going to make people want to go see it because they're like, well, what's all this noise about? You know? That's my theory on it. I mean, you know, I've been known to be wrong once or twice in life, so.
Well, I mean, you're not wrong. I mean, all publicity is good publicity.
Publicity, exactly.
To movies, whatnot, and things of this nature. I mean, I more likely see it, but I'm always amazed at criticism that comes from individuals who have never walked the streets of anywhere but would criticize, oh, why would you portray it like that? Yeah,
that's similar. I'm sorry, that's similar to what was going on just like a week ago in Baltimore. You know, 2 weeks ago when all that uprising was going on. Immediately, of course, the major media outlets are going to focus on all the negativity and what press feeds they were getting from, you know, the police chief and whatever. And instead of, you know, really going into the city and going around other areas of the city and finding out from other people, you know, that live there, you know, it was every time you get on online or on the internet or turn on your TV, the majority of what's reported was false. But more than that, the majority of what was reported was negative. It was just, you know, they gave you negative images. You know what I'm saying? So it's to me, it's the same thing. Spike is fighting the same type of press that the city of Baltimore fought, you know, and it's unfair. But this is the society, this is the world we live in. Spike knew exactly when he decided to do the movie, you know. He already knew.
Yeah, I mean, you know? There's nothing unfair.
Well, no, I mean, it's unfair in the sense that, okay, with Baltimore, even though there's issues and there's all kinds of problems going on, the majority of America, or let's just say middle America, that segment of society that probably never deals with colored people of color on any type of level, they're automatically going to believe whatever the news tells them because it's the news. Okay, here we are with a situation with Spike, you know, who's internationally known, his movies, and you know, he's done movies before, and all because of the title of a movie, they're automatically assuming that he's going to that he's going to shoot this film in a way that it's going to make all of Chicago look bad, when we've known for years that Chicago's got one of the worst gang problems in America.
Right.
Outside of like LA, you know, you can't even really say New York because, you know, New York is a little bit, it's a different type of gang life in New York as opposed to LA or Chicago.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm not saying one is any better than the other, but, you know, because of the title of the movie, he could have made, you know, changed the name of that movie to Roses Are Red, Violets Are Blue, or whatever. You know, it's all in the name,
right? It would have been the exact same thing,
exactly. So, you know, and I think had it been, let's say Quentin Tarantino or some other, you know, producer, I guarantee you it wouldn't be as much hoopla about it.
Well,
had it been some, I guarantee you.
I mean, I remember I had a problem with the slave movie that he did with
the Django? Yeah.
At the Django, I'm like, whatever. Django these nuts.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, come on. I mean, that's what I keep saying. Like, you know, people that have listened to the show already, they say, well, Eric, you know, you're always throwing color in it because there's color in everything. And it's not that I'm saying that we live in a racist world, but you have to look at it from that standpoint sometime, because if you don't, then you live in a world where it's kumbaya and everything's beautiful. Everything is not beautiful.
I'll take the kumbaya out of you. We'll switch up here. There's a 10-year-old rape victim who was denied an abortion.
Yeah, I heard about that. That's sad. I mean, you know,
she was raped by her stepfather.
Right.
And you know.
And what state? What state did this occur in? Because I guarantee you, they're playing politics with that child's life. It comes down to politics.
Yeah, I mean they're isn't
just. I don't think there's a, well, I'll just say, you know, because I don't have any kids, but I don't think there's a parent out there that if they were in that same situation would want their child to have that, you know, have a, you know, 10-year-old, come on now.
It's in Paraguay, and
that's a whole different country, but okay.
Yeah, but, I mean, still, we're talking about it's for religious reasons. They ban abortion except for in the case of a threat to the mother's health. But it's like, and the government had denied the girl's mother's request to grant an abortion because the stepfather is the baby daddy.
Well, and I know for these last couple of minutes, I'm just going to say this, and if people disagree, they can hit me up on Facebook or hit the show off. I'm just going to say this. Okay, I can respect the person's religious beliefs, but I don't even think at this point, though, you know, God Almighty would be okay with this child who's still a child pushing out a human life that, you know, come on now, for real? Really? We're gonna force this child to have a baby who think about it. She may die during birth.
Yeah.
She could die just from the shock and the trauma of it all during birth.
Yeah, we're not even talking about dying during birth. What we're talking about is the fact that she's pregnant by her stepfather, and
they're not doing anything about it. They're not even trying to, put this man in prison or anything.
It's not even that. I mean, child services got him, but not police got him. The issue here is, and this is what people never look at, and they talk this sanctity of life shit that they put out there. You're talking about a 10-year-old girl who has to look at the child that she has with complete and utter disgust. Because it's her worst nightmare is a reminder every day.
Well, we're assuming that once the child is born, that the child would stay with her or her, you know, the parents.
Yeah, but even if it doesn't, she carried that. I mean, it's right. You know,
it's going to play a bird. It's going to be a psychological nightmare.
She's basically screwed before she even gets a chance to live life.
Well,
you know,
I really hope that somebody wants to call in or email us or whatever regarding this, but I don't know. It's like 6-7 minutes left in the show. You know, because I'm willing to debate this with anybody, you know.
Yeah.
If anybody's defending the government or whoever's choice for this child to have a baby, you know, okay. Okay. Yep. Anything else? Because we need to, I'm a little bit upset now.
Yeah, I mean, but that that was the point. You know, I was already mad. I mean, I've been mad all week. I've tried to, you know, try to purge it and be happy and whatnot, but, you know.
Mm-mm. I'm not going to say you take it personal, but yeah, that's, well, I understand where you're going with that.
Well, I mean that, and also the fact that, you know, I have a younger relative who is no more. I mean,
right.
And we like I said, we always talk about this senseless black on black violence, and, you know, everybody's protesting for Black Lives Matter, but it only matters when it's somebody else. But when it's the people in the community, it doesn't matter.
Well, I think it always matters. It depends on who's bringing it to the attention of others.
Well, I mean, because, you know, when it comes to this, it stops snitching. You know, you'll catch 900 videos of the cops, but you can't find not one.
But that goes. That's what I'm saying. It depends on who's doing the reporting. I mean, the whole stop. I mean, we ain't got much time left, but it goes to say with that whole, you know, stop snitching thing. I mean, that for anybody to have that mentality, that, you know, not to snitch. I'm sorry, I can't respect that. I can't.
Yeah.
You know, they don't want to snitch
until it comes
right.
Until they're directly affected.
Right. You don't want to snitch until it comes to your door.
Right.
And I'm saying that it's at your door. It's been at your
door. It's always been at their door.
You scared to walk out in your neighborhood sometimes, depending on what neighborhood you're in, because that stops snitching. But you're quick to snitch on something else. You're quick to world star hip hop and capitalize or try to capitalize on the cops beating on somebody. But what about these dudes that make your neighborhood unsafe?
Well, again,
where's the film on that? I'm still waiting on the film on that. I never see it.
You won't.
You know, I think it's disgusting. It's a travesty.
You won't. I mean, that's something we can table that till next week, but you won't. You know, and I mean, that's just like the whole Black Lives. I mean, yeah, I'm down with all that. I mean, yeah, of course, Black Lives, all lives matter. You know, it just depends on who wants to speak up.
Yeah.
You know, we literally in our own community, just to wrap this up, we literally pick and choose what we want to talk about and what we don't want to talk about, what we'll acknowledge, but we won't speak on it.
Right. And,
you know, we do that to ourselves. So we can't always blame the cops or media anyway, because we do it to ourselves.
All right. And on that note, that's our last word. For my Smooth. Main man, Mr. J. Mr. F the N word. Special shout out to my homegirl Karen Harrison, who came out here and shook the world a little bit. Of course, this was another Smooth Drama presentation. And
send those emails in. SmoothDrama@smoothdrama.com.
We out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.
Smooth.
Drama.
Yo. You there?
Yeah, I'm here.